Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Yes! Food!
Two, checking mic. 1, 2, sibilance. Yowzer, levels are great. All systems go. Can you hear me? Good. Thanks to Bob Nana at downright.com for this microphone. I sound delicious. What a tasty, tasty treat that was. Thank you for the microphone. Special theme song written by Andy McQueen from McQueen Studios. Hit him up if you need anything, a voiceover or some music or custom songs, whatever. Hit him up. And I'm pretty excited this week because I just went to a concert last night. It was a band called Thursday. They're celebrating 20 years of the album release, Full Collapse. Amazing album, even better live. And plus they played other hits too. And I saw a band open for them called Hail the Sun, and they were pretty bomb. I was impressed. Kind of sound like, I'm going to say it. They kind of sound like a little bit of, they sound like Thursday. And they sound like also At the Drive-In and Mars Volta, all put together in one band. Very talented bunch of kids. Maybe they're not kids. Whatever. They were good. It was a fun show. And I just got news this morning that Quicksand has released a new song called Feliz, and it's really good. So I'm stoked on that. Lots of music going on in my life. It's my birthday week, and we're having a great time. Today's guest is none other than Matt Pryor from the Get Up Kids and New Amsterdams and a whole bunch of other music projects because he writes custom songs for everyone. And but you know what else is cool is I'm going to play you some music before we even start the show. The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life. Yes, a band called No Fun At All from Sweden. Classic dudes, classics. They were early on in my punk rock life with all the surf and skate and snow videos that I always talk about. They were heavy in rotation. They're from Sweden, and they kind of sound like Millencolin or whatever because they're all from the same area, but they got their own sound, and they have a new album out on SBAM, S-B-A-M Records, exclusively. It's called Seventh Wave, and I'm going to play one of the new songs from it because I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan. And the song is called Dead and Gone. It's from the new album, Seventh Wave. Like I said, get it on SBAM Records. I'll put some links in the show notes. We're going to play the song, and I'm going to talk to you for a little bit before we start the conversation with Mr. Matt Pryor. So here's the song. Let's dig in.
I can sense you closing in. Shroud. Shame on you and shame on me for killing.
I hope that stoked you as much as it stoked me. No fun at all. Always bringing the energy, no matter how old they may be. Breaking up, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together a few times since 1991. Last album was in 2018, and they're back, baby. They're back. Seventh Wave, check it out. SBAM. I'm sorry, it's actually technically SBAM Records. Check it out. Links in the show notes. Anyways, I got a show for you. Matt Pryor, friend of the show, homie for life, Mogan Brown, was on tour with the Get Up Kids. He was their guy. He's kind of like making sure they have their music and musical instruments ready to rock, you know, doing that whole thing. When you see the guys on stage kind of before the band starts, checking everything, making sure everything's in tune, that's what Mogan was doing. He was just on the tour with Get Up Kids. Before that, he was on with another band. And so anyways, so we talked about that a little bit in the episode. So shout out to Mogan. Thanks for hooking us up, hooking me up with Matt. And Matt came on my radar also, not only, of course, with music and stuff, but like he was recently on a couple other podcasts and he was talking about food stuff. So I was like, dude, we got to do this. So we did it. And obviously, the Get Up Kids and Matt's other musical projects have been a part of my life and my musical journey for a long time. Ever since their 4 Minute Mile album, and then of course, you know, all the bigger ones that they put on Vagrant Records, and so on and so forth. And he's still making music. And of course, you know, a lot of people may or may not know, but he writes, like I said, custom songs for people. You just hit him up and tell him what you need, and you can write a song with him, or he can write something for you. Anyways, so we'll talk a little bit about that, of course. But if you're listening to whatever you're listening to this show on, please rate, review, subscribe, share, all that kind of jazz that I always say. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. If you already have, it's free. It's free. So do it. I implore you. It's imperative that you do that. Just kidding. I don't want to force you to do something, but please do it. And thanks to all the friends of the show, the supporters, the Patreon peoples, and Emo Brown Media Group for helping out to getting the word out. Let's keep getting the word out. This is technically the 75th episode of the interview stuff. And of course, there's kitchen pairing playlists and special episodes and bonus episodes and all that kind of stuff. And the collabs that I do when I'm on somebody else's podcast and they put me out and I release it this way. So technically the 75th interview episode of the Family Cast, Food and Music is Life, yes, is this one with Matt Pryor. So let's get into it. And then we'll talk after with some music too. All right. Here's my conversation with Matt, and I hope you enjoy it. Let's dig in.
Food and music is life.
Yeah! All right, looking good. He's got his beer. We're ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, I'm talking to Mr. Matt Pryor.
Hello.
Hello, fresh off a tour, mm-hmm. Where guest of the show, buddy of mine, Mogan, was part of the tour family. Yep. And but I you were in my radar too, because not only are we not only do I listen to your music, but I heard you on you're talking to Matt Carter about doing some chefy kind of stuff on the Labeled podcast. Oh. I was like, whoa, Matt, get me in touch. I mean Matt Carter, get me in touch. We got to talk about some chef stuff.
I like Matt.
Mogan's like, guy. I'll hook it up. So yeah, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay. And then yeah. I know you're like, let's do it a little bit earlier because I got to plan dinner. Mm-hmm. So we're already talking about the food and the drinks and everything like that. So heck, we don't even have to talk about music if you don't want to.
Whatever you want, man.
Dope. What city are you in today?
I'm in Lawrence, Kansas. Mm. Which is home of the University of Kansas and about 40 minutes west of Kansas City.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in San Diego, California.
Oh, nice.
I was born in Missouri, but we moved out here, military stuff. So Fort Leonard Wood Army Hospital.
Okay.
So not too close to that side, but right in the middle, kind of right in the middle of the state. Yeah. Are you always from, are you born and raised in Lawrence?
No, I'm from KC originally. Kind of like Brookside area of Kansas City. So
cool.
The rest of the guys in the band are from Olathe, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're here on the Food and Music is Life. Yes. Pairing, you know, chef podcast, because obviously your affinity towards food is a new thing that I learned about you, but obviously you are also a prolific songwriter. So we can do some pairings. We can like do some stuff with the beer you're drinking now or whatever. You drinking local?
Yeah. It's about 3 blocks from my house is the Lawrence Beer Company.
Nice.
Which isn't the most creative name, but they have really, really good beer.
Maybe you could help them think of a name or a theme song or something.
Well, they've been going for like 5 years, so they're pretty set on it.
LBC.
LBC. It's good. That's funny. It's my office, really. Like, I'll go there to like write and stuff.
There you go. That's good.
Do some work.
Yeah.
The kind of place where they don't even ask me what I want. They just bring me the beer, the IPA when I get there.
It is your Starbucks. It is your Starbucks. They're like, Matt's here. Give him what is it? Like a double IPA or something?
It's a single IPA. It's called the Electric, like electric, but with no E at the beginning of it. So just Electric.
Electric. No time for all the letters. that's dope. And then
they make a double Electric, which is 9%, which is actually even better, but I didn't want to be in my cups for this interview.
those 9% ones will catch up to you.
Yeah,
for sure. We know about those here in good old Southern California. But man, how was tour?
It was good. We weren't in San Diego, which is kind of weird. I didn't realize that until we were like all the way out there that we played Phoenix, and then we went up to the Glass House in Pomona, and I was just like, we didn't play San Diego. I was like, oh well, okay, I guess not. But
well, fuck those guys, right? Just kidding.
I love San Diego. It's great.
I know. I saw you here. I saw you a couple times in San Diego. But I caught the Pomona show on that tour. It's a super anniversary tour of Four Minute Mile. But you also played some other songs off of other stuff too, and including Woodson EP and maybe, you know, some of the other record albums thus after. But 4 Minute Mile, man, what a classic. That's how I got introduced to you myself.
Did you go around to any of the food vendors at that like kind of street fair that was in front of the Pomona?
That was insane. I got there it was popping. There was a couple other concert venues around there. So they had shows, and then there was the farmer's market, and they had like 6 bands playing at the same time at the market.
Yeah. So, yeah. I noticed that. It was like a DJ at one end of the block and then a band in the middle. But I still have never had birria tacos. And I went and I ordered one, but then I just like kind of looked at it. I was like, there's no way I can eat this much cheese. And then it kind of sucks as I've gotten older. Like my dietary restrictions on tour have become more severe.
Like, I'll bet. Yeah. Especially if you gotta sing those high notes, you can have all that dairy in your throat.
Yeah. It's like, not heavy dairy, not spicy. Cause it's like, okay, if I go eat like a spicy curry or something, and then I'm just like spit and fire, and not in like a good way.
you got some high notes on that album too.
Jesus. Yeah.
You hit them pretty well. You hit them pretty well.
I'm a better singer than I was when I was 19, but, you know, I just have more experience. I mean, I'd never toured when we made that record. Like we'd played around town, but we had never gone on tour. And it's just like, I was messing with Jim because like the way we usually do the set is that we'll stagger it. So we have like, I have breaks from singing. We'll play one of the songs that he sang, but he doesn't really sing any songs on that record. So it's just like, okay, in the whole set with the encore, we're going to play 22 songs and I'm going to sing 20 of them. And it was funny. I was calling him Jimmy Two Songs for the whole tour.
I bet you like that. but I know the voice held out. I was impressed. I was impressed. You still got to, like I said, hit those notes. I didn't hear any birria in your throat. You ordered it. They give it to you. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to give this back to you. Do you have anything without cheese or spice?
I think I gave it to Mogan, actually. I got to the show and he was setting up and I was just like, I can't eat this. I mean, it looks awesome and greasy and cheesy, but it's going to fuck me up.
Your time will come. Your time will come.
True.
I'll send you some recipes.
I need to get out to California and I'm not there for work.
That is a great idea. And then I can also send you some recipes in the meantime for some Lawrence, Kansas birria to pair with that beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the one you're drinking, it looks like a little bit, maybe a darker, maltier IPA, just from the look of it.
Yeah, a little bit. It's not too malty, but it's more hop forward. As my our tour manager Wilson is always saying that shit, because he always wants to go to tiki bars.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really like tiki bars because it's just too much. I just don't like tiki drinks because it's too much sugar. And so he's like, we always need like a spirit forward whiskey drink for you. And I'm just like, for fuck's sake, do they not have beer at tiki bars? Like
spirit forward. So just the shot of bourbon.
Can I get a bullet on the rocks, please?
Yeah. Jack and Coke, hold the Coke. Mm. Yeah, that's cool. Like, congratulations on the anniversary of that album for starters. That's a big milestone for any band and album. And of course, everyone who was there, at least at the Glasshouse show where I was super into it. And it was cool now because now your fans are having kids and are bringing kids to the shows, right?
There's that. And then there's also a new contingent of like what seems to be what I can only assume are like emo hipsters, where it's like 20 somethings. It's cool. It's like 20 somethings who are like wearing like, you know, Gravity Record bands t-shirts and stuff. Like they were wearing like t-shirts of like bands that like only put 1/7 inch out. And just like, where the hell did you get
that? The all these new apps that have they're selling their parents' clothing and they're just buying each other's parents' clothes. So like
it's kind of interesting. It's like there's always like one. I'll always like say hi to if there's like a really young kid who's just like this might be their first show, and then I'll like give them a set list at the end of the night and stuff. But
nice,
you know, it's we're not getting any younger, so.
Yeah, no, you got the more birria you can avoid, or maybe you need some birria to keep you alive, keep you young, minor heart.
I've still never had it, so I'm
that's what I mean. You're on the right track. You're ready. But and then you had Jim Ward and Sparta and the boys on tour too. That's pretty rad. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's pretty rad. Moga first texted me, he's like, hey, I guess I'm going on tour with the Gebba Kids, guess who's going? And I just had Jim on the show, and he's like telling me.
Nice.
Like, so that's funny. He's a rad dude.
Yeah, he's the best. He's got a restaurant in El Paso, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Were you able to stop by Eloise?
No, it wasn't open yet. We had our day off in El Paso, but we just ended up. Well, we call it a day on because we got a day room at a hotel that had a pool. And so we were just drinking beer by the pool all day. And then we went out for a big Mexican food dinner with kind of corny family Mexican restaurant with a mariachi band, and it was just like, yeah, all right, this is fun.
This is true Authentico Texas,
whatever. Yeah.
Here we are. That's dope. It was just really fun to see that those two bands just playing. I mean, you guys played like almost 2 hour set that night, seemed like.
It's like $140, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was just with some witty banter in between. It makes it like it makes it solid. But and then stoked to see Jim singing with you. Ultimate Jim power on stage there. All right.
Well, at the show in Phoenix, Jim from Jim Eat World came to the show, so we got a photo of the three.
Yeah, triple the Jim. Did he sing Mass Pike?
No, he just was hanging out.
Oh, okay, that would have been so much. But that would give you a nice break. Anyways. What do you like cooking these days? What are you making for dinner?
Tonight, I'm going to make Oklahoma onion burgers.
What is that?
So you basically, I learned it from George
Is that where Moat. You steam them? Steam the onions on top of the...
You don't steam them, but I learned it from George Moats, the burger scholar dude.
Yeah. And
basically, you slice like sweeter onions, like Vidalia's or something like that, on a mandolin. So they're like super, super thin. You're supposed to slice them on like a deli meat slicer, but I don't own one of those. So
what? Come on.
It's supposed to be like super, super thin.
Yeah.
So basically you have a smash burger, right? And you smash the first side, and then you cover it with a ton of these like thinly sliced onions, and then you press those into the meat, season them, and then flip it over, and it kind of like grills the onions into the burger.
Yes.
And it's really good. It keeps the burger from drying out at all. Because there's so much moisture in the onions, and then, you know, just tomatoes are in season, so we'll do that. And you know,
sounds great.
You know, we got some American cheese slices because that's what you got to do for a burger.
You have to, especially on a smash burger.
Yeah,
dope. Are you more of a burger guy usually? You like doing the burger stuff, or that's just because it's Monday, baby?
I mean, I got home Well, I've been home for like a week, but I got home. And so like when I'm gone, because I do most of the cooking for like dinners and stuff. So when I'm gone, I'll get like a meal kit thing just so that it's like one less trip to the grocery store for my wife to get HelloFresh or Blue Apron or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so usually when I come home, there's some of that stuff around and I just kind of look at it and go like, well, I can make this better. And so there was this ground beef and I was just like, well, I can either do meatballs or burgers. And I was just like, ah, fuck it. I want to do burgers.
Smash it up. And do you collect like hot sauces or seasonings on tour?
No, not really. I'm not really a big hot sauce guy. I really like more smokier hot sauces, like Chipotle stuff. Mm-hmm. My neighbor, so this is interesting. My neighbor down the street, 6 months out of the year, he's a chef at a station in Antarctica.
Whoa. And
he goes to Antarctica for 6 months out of the year, but he makes his own lacto-fermented hot sauce that's like serrano and cilantro, actually, is what it is. But it's like been my go-to like sauce for everything from eggs to
butter. Yeah, I love that stuff. And it's super bright green.
Yeah.
Like from the ferment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. We got all kinds of crocs happening at the kitchen right now, like different colors.
Oh, nice.
We're experimenting with all the colors of the rainbow, like purple cayennes and shit.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'll snap a picture for you. But that's cool. Yeah, like, I know you can't do too much spicy stuff on tour because you'll get the heartburn or the throat, throat burn or whatever. And you got to be like super high notes. And
yeah, it's also this the dirty little secret that no one ever tells you about touring in a bus or a bandwagon, which is sort of like a smaller bus, is that it does have a toilet, but you can't shit in it. So every morning, your first order of business is to find like a Starbucks or somewhere that you can use the bathroom.
Right.
And when you eat a bunch of spicy food the night before, especially if you eat it after the show, like our show in Buffalo, they brought us like 50 hot wings. And I was just like, I can't, I'm going to die. I'm going to like wake up in the next morning and I'm going to be like in pain from having to go to the bathroom. So,
but you ate them anyways.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Luckily, lately, whenever we get done with the shows, but at least on this tour, because it was really kind of workout intensive for me, is that I just wasn't hungry. I was just like, I'm just gonna have a beer and then go to bed, you know, like come down and stuff. So, but I do have to like time it, because especially on this tour, it's like I have to eat dinner, like at least 3 hours before we go on stage, so that I have time to like digest and that sort of stuff. Otherwise I'll get like a cramp in my stomach. So
the physiological and biological merits of touring here with Matt Pryor.
Well, go even more in depth with it.
Well, if you wish, but
no.
It's fun.
What are you making? What are you cooking for dinner?
That's a great question, because, Monday is usually like the almost like leftover from the weekend kind of stuff. Cause I did like a whole bunch of weddings and such over the weekend. So
I bring home
little pieces of here and there. Like I got some achiote chicken and I got some meatball slices that was on a pizza kind of thing. And then like, so kind of like, what can we do here? You know, there's a lot of choices for everybody.
Okay.
But to be honest, I brought home some green curry and some garlic rice. So I'll probably do that, and then I could throw some of the chicken in that, or keep it vegan because the curry's all vegan. It's an easy way to feed. I got three kids, so a quart of curry and a quart of rice goes a long way, you know. and it's decently healthy since it's all mostly vegetables. So good. But awesome. Then you know, we'll definitely eat some steaks this week too, because the weather's. Here in San Diego, the weather, like the fall weather, is actually almost like nicer than summer sometimes. Because
it's hot. I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like real barbecue weather.
It's nice here for about another week, and then it's gonna get cold.
Oh, so, does it snow there?
Not very often. It does. It kind of pisses me off, because it's like if it's gonna get cold enough for snow, I wish it would just snow, because then at least then it's like pretty and kind of serene and stuff. And it's a pain in the ass for sure, but it's just like, I guess maybe if I lived in like Michigan or something, I wouldn't feel that way. But
then you're like, you know what? I really hate the snow. I wish it would just not snow.
I don't mind the cold. I like the cold, except when I have to play a gig. Like, we played in Kansas City on Friday night, and we had to play outside, and it was like 45 degrees when we were on stage. And I was just like, this is just hard. It's like your fingers don't work as well as you want mm-hmm. them to, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they had most clubs now have like LED lights for stage lighting, which don't produce any heat. But this place had old school like theater lights.
Just the hot theater lights. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was yeah. warm on stage, just park hands or whatever. And
are you able to like just sing and play everything all night without any like, wait, I got to take a break, guys, or anything like that? Or because you're like you said, you're a better singer now, your throat's in shape and everything like that. You've learned how to do it kind of, you know.
I mean, I put if left to his own devices, Jim will add 15 songs to the set every night.
Is he in charge of the set list?
No. the way this dynamic works is that I write the set list and then he complains about it.
Uh-huh.
And then we change things around.
But did you have it all on this tour, since it was that album? Was it like kind of?
No, there was no debating about it, except when it came to the encore, because then it was just like, we could do like 12 songs in the encore. And I was like, no.
Was just hell like, no.
Unless they're 12 Jim songs, then no. And like, so I was like, I'll do 7 songs and that's it in the encore. And it's like, so then it was just like, okay, Jim Ward wants to do Mass Pike. We're like, okay, what are we going to cut so we can put Mass Pike in there? It's just, and it was fine. I mean, it ended up, you know, it was a plenty long show. We played 22 songs.
Damn.
I don't remember. Did we play Beer for Breakfast at that show? Because sometimes we were playing that.
I think you did.
I don't have to sing it at all.
I think that you did.
That one's a freebie because I don't have to sing it at all.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, heck, some of the hits you don't even barely have to sing too, because the crowd's got you, right?
Well, I try not to overdo that. I have done that when I've like lost I was losing my voice.
Of course.
But it's like,
take a cue from the hardcore kids and
yeah. Just, well, I try to only do it for like maximum impact. You know what I mean? Like, I'll do it the opening line of Dottie, everybody always sings, and then in Out of Reach, the choir part at the end or whatever. And I'll kind of like play that up and be like, come on, you can sing it better than that, you know?
Yep. In fact, that's what you said in Pomona. did say that. That's cool. I mean, what do you, are you like a, do you like big kind of festival shows, or do you like that kind of, not even, I guess, even like, even Glasshouse has a Barricade, I guess, but like a Barricade-less club show. Do you like those ones better?
I prefer performing at club shows. The Barricade thing is kind of it's like whenever there is a Barricade, you don't need it. And whenever there isn't a Barricade, people go fucking crazy. And like, I ended up getting hit in the mouth with a microphone, hit by a stage diver.
Yep.
And festivals are fun in that you tend to like see a bunch of people you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And they pay really well. And then you don't have to work terribly hard, because it's usually like we just played Riot Fest, and it's like, okay, you guys are on at 3. All the booze is free backstage. It's free food. All your friends are here. It's just like, well, fine. We're just going to have to hang out, have a day of it in Chicago, you know?
There you go. Yeah. And you play at 3. So you kind of have the whole night to do whatever you want to.
Yeah. And then we got to watch Sunny Day and the Misfits. It was awesome.
Whoa. Dream come true. Yeah. you're at the point now where you're like, obviously headlining tours and shows, but like, would you still want to open for bands? Like, are there new bands out there that you still want to like rock and roll with? Like Sunny Day or something?
Oh yeah, if we had the opportunity to play with them, that would be amazing. The you know, we opened for Jawbreaker for 3 shows earlier this year.
And
before the world shut down, we were out with Dashboard Confessional. The problem is we're not really a cheap date. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like we're 5 guys who all have families.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have actual jobs, so it's got to be like financially viable for us to. You know, there's this old story from like forever ago, like in like 2001 or 2002, whenever Blink-182 was first blowing up, that they offered us a tour, and they offered us $250 a night, and I was just like, "You're playing arenas. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, but you got, you know your
worth. I'm sure that wasn't. They are very nice guys. I've met them, but I'm sure that wasn't them. I'm sure that was their management trying to.
Yeah, that was not them. They'd be like, "You guys just want to come out for free, and then we'll pay you whatever, you know, like."
Or like the Ozfest rules, where the band has to pay to be on the show.
Oh my God, no, no! Is that still doing that? Are they still paid?
I don't know.
That's stupid.
That was the first time I ever heard about that. I don't think Warped Tour ever did that, but it kind of seems like something that maybe they would.
Well, shit. What besides that smash burger action? What's on your cooking list? What do you like to do? Like Kansas City kind of barbecue? What you got?
No, I don't actually cook a lot of barbecue because. We're not eating a ton of meat. We're trying to I signed up for a kind of a meat CSA from a local, local farmer.
Yeah.
And so like once a month I drive out to their farm and get a cooler full of stuff. So it's like trying to eat less meat and only eat good meat, you know? And,
yeah.
So last night we did a stir fry. I went to the farmer. I went to the farmer's market Saturday morning and I got some Napa cabbage and some, it's kind of wild. I didn't know you could do this in Kansas. Someone's growing ginger. And so nice. I got like a fresh head of like young ginger and some garlic and
tasty.
A shit ton of basil and some tomatoes, of course. But then, so I just did like a stir fry last night.
Yum.
And with some rice noodles that I undercooked because I'm not really experienced with the whole like blanching rice noodles to the point where they're done. You know what I mean? You know how you pour boiling water over them or whatever. And the night before we just did like a simple like spaghetti with like fresh tomatoes and basil from the garden.
Perfect.
And,
yeah.
And garlic and Parmesan. And,
always a hit. That's always a hit.
And it's easy, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, tomorrow is my meat pickup day. So that'll kind of determine, because I don't know what I'm going to get.
Oh, okay.
I initially asked her to give me the weird stuff and she just ended up giving me a whole lot of liver and I don't really like beef liver very much.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
So we've been giving that to the dog, but it's like, I love pork liver and I love duck liver, you know, like all the. We went out to this fancy French restaurant when we were in Pittsburgh and Jim said the pate tasted like cat food. And I was like, that's fucked up. That was like the best part of the whole meal.
But that's usually from the beef livers.
Chicken. We're going to go. Mogan was there. Like, we're going to go Dutch, you know, just we'll split it four ways or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll get a bottle of wine. And I'm like, I want to get escargot because I want you guys to try it. And Jim's like, I don't want to eat snails. And I'm like, fine, I'll just fucking pay for the escargot. I just want you to try it. And he was like, that was the best thing we had all night. And I was just like, yeah, it tastes like fucking butter and garlic.
It's all butter and garlic. Yeah. Can't like go wrong.
Chewy butter and garlic. I mean.
Yeah. Right. So it's a fancy French restaurant in Pittsburgh.
I'm going to tell you this. Like, this is something that no one ever says. Pittsburgh fucking rules. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is like, no one thinks like, oh, I want to go move to Pittsburgh or I want to go live in Pittsburgh, but it's awesome. It's like, it's working class. It's a really like interesting layout because of all the mountains and stuff. And then they have all these like pockets of like I found a wild game butcher shop when we were in Pittsburgh that had like boar and kangaroo and shit. And, but yeah, it, really good food. It's beautiful. Like there's mountains. You can take a train up the side of a mountain.
Never had.
Which is called a funicular is what they call those trains that go up the
really?
Side of the
mountain. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's just awesome. So like we had a show in Pittsburgh and then a day off. And I was like, we're going to Buffalo, which is also a town that I like, but it's not nearly as unique as Pittsburgh is. And so it's like, so yeah, we went and it was just like, found a little hipster coffee shop, got some espresso in the morning and walked around. I mean, you got to do the Permonte Brothers, which is the sandwich shop where they put French fries on every sandwich. You know, like
I'm down.
It's good to do one. It's like a cheesesteak. You know, it's like good to do when you're there once. Like
yeah, I would like a I must try.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live on it.
I don't think you could live on it, bro.
That's kind of how I feel about barbecue in general. Like like there's people who eat KC barbecue like every single day, and I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm just like, you're gonna die.
And the KC sauce is especially sugary too.
Yeah,
so that's another thing that they don't talk about with barbecue. Not just the meats, but like that's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, it's a sweeter sauce. Sometimes it's a little bit smoky too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what were you talking about with Matt? Like you wanted to start some kind of like music and chef service. Like you wanted to figure out a way to. Almost like a HelloFresh kind of thing, but you wanted to add your music into it somehow. Like, what was that?
I don't even remember that conversation.
It was like it's like towards the end of the conversation, or maybe bonus stuff. But like, you're like, yeah, I want to like,
you know what?
Yeah, because you were writing custom songs for a while, or you still do, right? Like,
yeah,
for everybody, right? And you're like, I want to put that, like, send that with this meat subscription or whatever.
There was an idea, and it's never manifested itself that like having like the custom song thing be part of like. A wedding planning package where it was like, you know, like if you go to like those, like The Knot or something like that, you probably get this.
I'm on The Knot. Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, you can find your caterer, you can find your photographer,
and
you can hire somebody to write your first dance,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something like that. But I've just mm-hmm. never, I don't know how to even start with that.
Oh, I could get you in The Knot, whatever. You're,
I don't even know if it would be like, cause like the people who commission songs for me are fans.
I think it would be I mean, but The Knot is, well, I'm not going to promote The Knot, but it's, I think that you would do well with some of those services that do that, the wedding, all the way, any of the wedding stuff. We played your music at my wedding. Fuck, you know, one of the last songs was I'll Catch You, and then it was like the hit of the night for everybody. It made a memory and experience. Like, people, what do people remember about my wedding? It was big. One of my chef friends did a taco bar, and I'll Catch You. Nice. There was a whole bunch of other stuff in between, and those are the three things I remember. The tacos, the one song.
mine was small, and it lasted about a minute and a half. and then a friend of mine played Afghan Whig songs on the piano as our.
Oh, that's cool.
Walking down the aisle music.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's dope. I guess the piano at ours was inside, so we couldn't. But anyways, yeah. Like,
what were we talking about?
We were talking about your idea for music and chef kind of a service,
you know,
pairing.
You know what my thing is currently, that is my idea that's sort of food related, is that like I watched The Bear and I was like, okay, why can't somebody make a fucking show that's about touring, like van touring, that's mm-hmm. as realistic as this is, you mm-hmm. know, like. Because everybody I know that's in your world is just like, oh yeah, that's like, people are just like, that show gives me PTSD.
It like, totally does. Yeah. Some of the stuff was a little exaggerated, but also they're getting a point across in like 40 minutes that this is what it's like. And they were not far off of any of it.
Yeah. But I just like, well, why can't you talk about like, you know, do something where it's just like, okay, so it's 3 a.m. and we're driving through Montana and we're about to run out of gas and we have to stop at this fucking mm-hmm. hillbilly gas station.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, or like people coming up to you and people say the meanest shit to people in bands. They're like,
they do. They really do.
It's just like, I'm not even a person. They're just like, and then the joke was that they always do it in Germany. Like, it's the land of unwanted opinions.
Exactly.
And so one time this guy goes, your new singer is not as good as your old singer. And I was like, it's just me, dude.
It's the same guy. I'm the same guy. That's funny. What'd you tell him?
I was like, oh, cool.
Good to know. Thanks.
I don't know.
And you see him at the concert or whatever.
Yeah.
What do people think the unwanted opinion is necessary to when you're telling a band on tour? Like, well, bro, I just want money for gas.
Yeah, you get kind of a like sort of a suspension of disbelief, I guess, where you just sort of start to lose the fact that the person on stage is actually a human,
and not just, yeah, it's a music robot, yeah,
not just like a film or something.
Did I hear right? Also, are you raising chickens?
Yeah, I'm down to 3 right now, but
from how many?
We initially had 8. 2 of them turned out to be roosters, so I had to dispatch them. And then...
run free.
No, I had to kill them. Yeah. and then a couple of them have just kind of died over the years. So And they're not laying right now. It's starting to get cold. So they're molting and they look all goofy.
What kind of chickens? You know?
I don't know. From okay. the They're from the farm supply store.
The chicken store. I have because roosters are actually make pretty good meat if you're doing like a bird dinner or anything like that. A rooster's a good one.
Yeah, Coq au Vin, you know, like it, but it's just like I just didn't want to eat them. Just like, I don't know. It was just something about like
your pet.
Yeah, kinda.
Sure. Like, makes sense. It tracks.
I'm not squeamish about it. Like it's I mean, I've processed chickens, I've processed a goat, and I've, you know, done all that stuff. I kind of figure if I'm going to eat meat, I should be comfortable with knowing how to kill it.
Exactly. You get it. Yeah. Like I try to tell people that, or like do an intense farm dinner where we're like, yeah, that rabbit that you're eating, I just did that like an hour ago or whatever, yeah. You know, like,
I mean, that's how I feel. I know that makes people squeamish. So I don't,
but we're not buying it at some like huge factory farm Tyson bird or anything like that. Like, you know, we know this, I know, well, the meat. Like
if that's what you need to do, if that's what you can afford, then that's what it is. But it just sort of, yeah. I just personally feel like I grow a lot of vegetables, and I'm like, well, I might as well, like, a buddy of mine had a 80 chickens that he was going to process. And so I'm just like, okay, I'll come out if I can have, I don't know, two, you know, yeah. And I got all the gizzards too, which is my favorite part of the chicken.
For eating or for you use them in other sauces? Yeah.
Wait, when I was young, we used to go to this place called Gomer's Fried Chicken, and it was down the street from my house. And you could go there and get a brown paper bag, like a lunch bag of fried gizzards for $1.
Whoa.
And then so we would squirt ketchup into the bag and then shake up the bag. And it's just like, it's just such a like little kid. It's kind of like my affinity for Taco Bell too, because like if we were good in church, we got to go to Taco Bell after church.
That's a way to get kids to stay in church, right?
Right.
Taco Bell.
And then also our first couple tours, we were on $5 a day per diem. So we ate at Taco Bell like almost every day. 79-cent burritos, baby.
Taco Bell will make you survive. Yeah, you'll learn to appreciate real tacos also.
Exactly.
But there's nothing wrong. Like every Mexican kid I know in San Diego has had Taco Bell also, because it's a lot. It's cheaper than the taco shops too. So it's,
I mean,
affordable.
It's fine in it. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, the highbrow and the lowbrow and the traditional and the innovative, and you know.
Well, you drink your local craft beer and try to have a PBR or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
or a chalada.
There's a bit of a you know, kind of a colonizer mentality of Taco Bell that they kind of like stole, you know.
It was a white dude. It was a white dude that started. So
it was a guy who had a burger stand and, and saw
them. Yep.
But you know, it is what it is. It's good on the road.
It's great on the road. I say eat whatever you want to eat, but yeah. What I will say is I don't recommend getting full on Taco Bell. You don't want to get full on Taco Bell. Then you have problems. Then you have problems.
I just do hard shell, just three hard shell tacos. That's all. That's perfect.
Satisfying.
Or the Crunchwrap Supreme. That's good when you're like, if you're actually driving the van, you could actually eat it with one hand.
Are you guys getting all these? See here, all these tricks. We're just explaining all these things about tour life. And
this is what my The Bear TV show is going to be all about. That I'm going to write.
And what's the name of your TV show?
I don't know yet.
The tour. the get out kids. There's I've seen some documentaries that are kind of like that, but then you have to like find the documentary. It would be cooler if it was like a show like this.
Well, I think if it was like that's. Documentaries are great, and there are some great documentaries about bands, but documentaries are kind of limiting, you know what I mean? Like it's like art house films or whatever. Like I just wish that like anytime there's something that's about like that's like a mass media thing of like a band, it's usually written by like a music journalist and not by like someone who's like in a band, or someone who's part of the crew or whatever, because it would be the same, it would be the same story. But it's just always like this kind of like anytime you watch like one of those biopics, like I remember I was on a plane and I was watching Bohemian Rhapsody and I was just like, this is fun, but this is horse shit. You know, just
it's the glamorizing of it.
Yeah. At least the Elton John one was so like fantastical and weird that it was just kind of like, well, all right, we're just going to lean into
it. You knew it was more of like a concert film or something like or a music video style. Mm-hmm. Touring's tour lab. You're gonna still do some more? You got some more plans for tours for other albums and stuff too?
Yeah, like I mean, we're gonna take some time off right now. I'm gonna do some New Amsterdam's touring next year, and nice. Then we're kind of like planning out now what will be the Something Right Home About 25th anniversary, which will be in 2024. Because this one, the one we just finished, the Four Minute Mile one, went way better than we kind of thought it would.
Nice.
Like it was kind of surprising almost. And
why?
I mean, it was some big rooms, and it's you know, it's our first record. It's not our most, I mean, Something Right Home About's by far our most popular record.
Sure.
So just we're just kind of like, okay, we'll just do the, you know, the big spots. But then a bunch of people were like, why didn't you come to Florida? You know, all this stuff. I'm just like, well, okay.
Do you have a booking agent?
Oh yeah.
Doing all that for you? Yeah. Well, that's good then, because then next time you go out, you can hit San Diego and the other spots or whatever.
I was just like, I was excited. I was like, oh, we'll go hang out at the Casbah, and then like, no, we're not playing San Diego. I was like,
damn, that would have been you could have done like three nights there. Or something.
I just like that bar. I just think it's a cool place.
Well, it is.
I'm a massive Rocket from the Crypt fan, and ever since the Sturdy Wrist video where they're playing at the Casbah with all the American flags and stuff, I'm just like, nah, right. I want to play here.
So you must have been super stoked when you got to share a label with them.
Yeah.
to say the least.
We got to do a split 7-inch with them.
What? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's the when was that? What year was that?
I mean, whenever they signed to the label. So 2001, something
I'll
like that.
Check it. I'll have to find it and check it.
This snake.
Yeah.
This is my Get Up Kids tattoo, because this is the artwork from our split with Rocket from the Crypt.
That's dope. It looks like an adder.
Oh, yeah.
You know what kind of snake?
Kinda. I'm not really actually into snakes. I just thought that looked cool.
I'm not a herpetologist. Yeah. Yeah. Dude, so how do we get this chef and music pairing thing off the ground? I know some people in the food world, at least, that can do something.
Well, you know what? So like, I'm going to go, a buddy of mine just reached out to me about doing an event, like a ticketed event at his friend's restaurant in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll pay for your flight. I'll pay for your hotel room. And then we'll sell tickets for it. And you can play to like 40 people. And I'm just like, okay, that sounds cool. Like doing kind of event. And then like our last tour, a lot of places that were like kind of co-sponsoring the shows were local breweries. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, okay, so is there something here where like can do like intimate, like small, like, cause like my buddy, Rocky Votolato does these like living room tours.
Yeah. I get the emails to book them here at my house.
Yeah. Right. So it just seems like that maybe there's a way to do that with like, you know, if you had like a private dining room in a restaurant or something like that, where you could make it a whole experience where it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, our shows are date night, really. Like our fans are older now.
Yeah.
And so we take that into consideration where it's just like, okay, we're not going to play past, you know, we're going to go on at 9. We're not going to play till 2 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like people have babysitters.
You start seeing some people stretching and yawning and like, oh man.
Well, and then you got to take into consideration too, that it's just like, they're got to buy tickets. They got to pay for parking. If you're going to get a babysitter, you might as well make a whole night of it and go out to dinner, maybe mm-hmm. even stay in town, get a hotel room. And then you got to,
you're
you
know, so right. We had friends that did that in the Pomona show. They just, you know, like stayed there.
You got to buy drinks. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you know,
you got to,
and then by the end of the night, you're like talking about a couple $100. It's just like, and that's not even including if you wanted to buy a shirt. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, what I would prefer that you do, but it's the, just
yeah,
you know, it, but like, so why not just do that in a restaurant where it's just like, okay, so it's like, you know, like a chef's menu, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, okay, so it's like 20 people, it's this much ahead, and you get the chef's selections, you know, first, second, and dessert, and then. Yep. You know, I'll play songs. I mean, I do private shows. I will do that. It's just, it's got to be worth my while, you know?
No, yeah, because we do ticketed dinners that are a beer or wine or bourbon or coffee pairings or whatever we're doing. And sometimes there's a DJ or sometimes there's like somebody just playing in the background the whole time. But I would want it to be background. I would want it to be a main focus.
Well, that's a tricky thing about it when you're doing like a singer songwriter kind of thing, is that you kind of need people to be invested in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's not just atmosphere. You know what I mean? Like, it's not right. Like a DJ or a jazz combo or
something
like that. So you got to find that balance.
But as far as the subscription-based service, I think it would work for you if you, with all your custom, the stuff custom you do, somehow, maybe. Like you could have a, because I used to have, it's still around too, this place in San Francisco was like Turntable Kitchen or something like that. And it was a coffee subscription and they would give you a 7-inch with it. Like they would mail it to you every, however much you paid for a month or a year or whatever, and recipes. And so that was in there. Cool. So that was a thing that was actually happening. On which is a much smaller scale, I think, than what you and I are kind of ideating. But like, I figured out a way to mix the HelloFresh with the CSA with the music from Matt or whatever, you know. So it's a, I thought it was a really cool idea when you first said it. Matt's like, oh, you got to talk to him. You love this.
I'm personally like, with Get Up Kids, it's like, okay, so this is, we can still do this in the old way. Which is like, okay, we're a band, we put out records, we go on tour, we play clubs, theaters, whatever. But like, as an individual, as a singer-songwriter, or as New Amsterdam's or whatever, I really prefer doing more alternative stuff to that. Because otherwise I end up playing in like little dive bars with no backstage. And it's just like, I mean, I'd rather go play in like a bookstore. You know what I mean? Or I'd rather go play in an art gallery or in a restaurant or something like that, or in somebody's house. And so like thinking about things like that, where it's just like, okay, so this is like music and art, you know, music and food. And, you know, just, I think the subscription thing is kind of interesting. Cause then you would like what people do with like symphonies and shit. You know what I mean? Where it's just like,
yeah,
you buy a subscription for,
they're the like year. A membership. Yeah. Membership kind of. Well, you can come play in San Diego. We can do it. But basically, I've done it to where a musician comes and plays, and if they're on tour or whatever, whether it's through Undertow or, you know, with Jonah's coming through, going to Mexico, I'm like, stop here. And then I got a backyard with, you know, we can set up a bar and I just sell food off the grill or whatever, give all the money to the musician. That's a little bit different. That's more like a house show style, but like, it's still like food related. Food and is a big part of it.
It's something that I will definitely keep in touch with you about that, because it's something I want to try and do next year in some capacity, like try and do stuff like that.
For sure. And also I know people like myself in every city, of course, across through the West Coast even. So like if you started here or wherever, you know, you go to the next one and then there's a menu and blah, 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 and people pay X amount or whatever. And there's a bar and it's just a whole experience. It's kind of like almost a club, except it's out at someone's house. So it's like a, you know, no security, whatever.
I mean, it's not necessary. Like anybody who's, I mean,
you're like, let's go, motherfuckers. And then,
no, I mean,
not like that.
No, not at all. And it's also just like, I mean, unless people are, like, we had a couple of incidents, like, you know, on it shows this last run where it's just like people got kicked out because they were being dicks. But it, for the really? Most part, yeah. There was a fight in New York, and then
during your set,
yeah.
Oh man,
in Cleveland. So the Browns had played during the day, and so like the crowd was just in the bag. And this guy reaches, this guy like is just wasted. He's like right in front of Rob, and he reaches over to this girl in the front row who's like singing her heart out, and he like totally like grabs her tits, and just like she just turns around and fucking wailed on him, and good. We just stopped. We're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get this guy the fuck out of here. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's just that we gave her a shirt. You know, just like,
here you go. Here's
sorry about that. I mean, it's not our fault, but it's just sort of like, that sucks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. There was a full on like fist fight in New York. It was just like stupid, dumb shit. And then it was like, all of a sudden, one other guy in the crowd put the guy who was throwing punches in like a headlock. And it was just like, where's the security? Like, where are they? You know, like, this is New York City. They should be. They made us go through a fucking metal detector to come into the fucking venue. Like, why don't they have security on the floor?
Which venue is it?
It was Irving Plaza, which I'm not shit talking Irving Plaza. They're a great venue. It's
yeah, but still, there was a, who's in charge of this fight? man, what's the future hold for your so New Amsterdam's going on tour? You're planning the 25th of Something to Write Home About, and are you still doing the Vagrant podcast?
I finished recording it. I don't know if all the episodes are out or if there's still a couple that are to come out.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. I don't have any real say in like the editing and scheduling of that thing. I was just kind of literally just the host of it. And so I know there's a Thrice episode that I don't think has come out. Hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but it might be done. I don't know.
Who's in charge of it? Rich?
No, he's not involved anymore. I don't actually know. I guess BMG technically, because they're
the ones okay.
Vagrant now.
Got it. Damn. Okay. Well,
I mean, I'm proud of the interviews that I did, but I just, you know, don't have any say in.
Oh, you know, I had a question for you. But have you talked to Blinman in a while?
I haven't talked to Blinman since 1999.
Okay, that's been a long time. It's been a long time.
I literally, we finished making Something Right Home About, and I've never spoken to him since then. Not because I don't like him. It just never, it's just our paths never crossed. It's weird.
Yeah, wild. I found him online somewhere, and he's a baker. He like makes breads and stuff like that.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, what? Come on, let's talk, buddy. So we start chatting, and then he's like, I don't know if people would like, you know, enjoy my story or whatever. I'm like, dude, you've worked with some amazing records and artists and stuff like that, and you're baking bread. Gotta talk about that, you know.
Is he still recording or is he just
yeah the bread's a hobby thing. It's just a hobby, so
he hasn't gone full Trombino and just stopped making
just donuts.
So I went to Donut Friend for the first time when we were just in downtown LA when we played.
Nice.
And Mogan and I were just like, he's like, you think they'll have a Get Up Kids donut? And he's like, yeah, totally. And I was like, they're not going to have a fucking Get Up Kids donut. Go in there. No Get Up Kids donut. Anniversary donut.
But no. Yeah. 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 I know. I was just, I bequeathed my Drive Like Jelly shirt to my sons because it quote unquote shrunk for me. So I, you know, the more IPAs, the more clothing is shrinking.
Oh, we get that a lot, especially because we're doing like kind of old school t-shirt designs and stuff. And
yeah.
People are like, oh my God, I used to have that in a medium. Can I have it in an extra large? Like,
yeah, adult size, right?
It's got to be, you know, our black large size t-shirt orders have gone way up.
Ah, yeah. Old school. And then you said you're working out a lot on tour?
We try to. I end up walking a lot because I don't really have a whole lot to do, especially when we have like a full crew.
Oh.
So I'll end up like walking like 8 to 10 miles a day, just walking around town.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's some real exploration.
Yeah. It's just kind of, it's something I actually started during lockdown. I was just like, you know, when you like couldn't go anywhere.
That's a good habit. Yeah.
And so just like, we'd go on these like 2 hour long walks and just like walk down to the river and
around. There you go. And then you kind of get addicted to it. The walking itself.
Kinda. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I didn't walk today. Ah. Yeah.
Well, and I tried running and I was just like, I don't think I like running as much.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to
just like walk. It. And you know, you burn the same amount of calories. If you walk 3 miles or you run 3 miles, you burn the same amount of calories. It just takes longer to do.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it. Yeah.
At least that's what our keyboard player / personal trainer told me. So,
hey, you can't argue with the personal trainer. They'll just get another client. What have you learned over these years? I'm going to land the plane with your nugget of wisdom. What have you learned over all these years of music and making music customized for people and now getting into food and all this stuff? What's good?
In what capacity? What do you,
I don't know. It was like, I mean, were your parents entrepreneurial musicians? What you've learned from yourself or being on the road, being a family man?
Well, that's all very different things. Okay. Yeah, so
definitely.
Family stuff. The thing that I'm learning about a lot lately is that as my kids have gotten older, cause I have three teenagers now.
Mm-hmm. Same.
When you have a child and you have this baby, your life does this kind of 180 where you have to all of a sudden be like, okay, this is my everything now. And I have to keep this person alive. And then there comes a point when they're around 15, 16, maybe, where they just kind of go like, I'm good, you know, fuck off, dad, you know?
Yep.
And of course, can I have money? And it's just kind of like, that's, you know, for 20 years, it's been like, okay, I gotta do this and I gotta, you know, get your clothes and I gotta all this. Like, and it's like my identity was wrapped into being a parent. And the last couple of years, I've had to like really sort of wrap my head around the sort of, it's almost like an empty nest sort of syndrome, even though they still live in the house, you know, like
gone more.
Well, and they're just so much more independent, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, can I borrow the car? And it's just like, oh, yeah, I would have taken you, but okay, you could just take the car.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I got 14, 16, and 18 right now.
I got 20, 18, and 15.
Oh, hell yeah. Take them on tour.
I have.
Have you written songs for them?
Yeah. There's some new AM songs that are about them.
Dope.
They've all been on tour before. My oldest son Elliot came out with New Amps when he was 3. I guess my youngest did too. They all came out all the time.
Perfect.
It's very taxing having small children on tour.
It is
doable. Except sometimes you get like really weird. It was really strange. Like the only place that I had kids on tour that wouldn't let me bring the kids into the venue because of the liquor laws was the House of Blues in New Orleans. I was just like, there's no fucking rules in this town. What are you telling me that there's like, I can't bring it.
It's a baby. They're not gonna steal anything. I didn't say you couldn't deep fry your t-shirt. I said you shouldn't.
I mean touring, it's kind of like, the big takeaway for me from touring is that like kind of less is more, and just to like try and do it smarter, not harder, because like that it's a young person's game, really. You're gonna like live in a van. I'm glad I did it when I was 20 to 25, where we just like slept on floors and ate shit and, you know.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not gonna do that anymore.
And you don't need to.
Yeah. And then also, you know, people in bands, probably similar to stand-up comedians, always know the best places in a town to eat.
Yeah.
Because that's all you really talk about. Besides like, you know, shop talk stuff about, you know, sound check and can I get a little more bass in my monitor? You know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, where are we gonna go eat? And now with Yelp, it's just kind of like, which I know Yelp is a blessing and a curse, but it's just,
exactly,
when you're traveling, it's kind of like, oh, this is a good sushi place, it's like down the way, you know, or
you got to know somebody to get the good stuff, right? Where the best birria tacos are or whatever.
Well, they're not on the street in front of the glass house. You have to play a show. I'm sure they were,
but I guess you'll never know now, because give it to Mogan.
I don't have a whole lot of reason to go to Pomona if I'm not working, so.
Oh yeah, just for glass. They're not actually, Pomona has a lot of taco stands just right randomly on the street, but whatever, all over California.
I think about this sometimes because I don't really travel except for work, very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I go to New Orleans often. That's like where we honeymooned, and that's like kind of our favorite place. But like, other than that, I don't really go just to visit. It's weird. Like I'm always, because it's always like, well, I'm going to go to San Diego. Let's just book a quick show to pay for the flight, you know, like,
yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, just come down and then you can also tour Mexico, you know, it's right there.
I played in Mexico City. We played a show in Mexico City. That was really cool. But
yeah, we're like right here where I'm sitting is about 12 minutes that way is TJ. So,
oh, I know. I've done that a couple of times.
But you can get you some shows down there. anyways, dude, this has been a good time. I think I need to let you go prep your dinner.
Yes.
You know, because
you gotta go slice some onions.
You gotta smash some burgies. No, yeah, I learned about the way you were talking about. It reminded me, my buddy does Rum Bum smash burgers like that. And I think he said he learned it from someone in Oklahoma, so it must be the same person.
He has what kind of, what did you call him?
Rom Bomb. His name is Ramen, so he makes Rom Bomb burgers. So it's that style with the onion. He does the onions on the mando, and he puts them on the bottom side of the burger, and then
it's
delicious. American cheese.
Always struggled. Like as decent of a cook as I am, I'm really bad with the grill for some reason. I don't know why, but this has been kind of like a foolproof, like smash burger. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also because I would tend to like overcook. Well, I mean, not smash burgers, but like if I was going to do like a steak or something, because like when my kids were little, they wouldn't eat, you know, they didn't want it well done, but they didn't want it like rare or
medium. Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, so I got to time this one for me and then time this one for them, you know, and it just, I think it kind of fucked up my grill skills. But this burger is easily one of my, and it's, you know, Jake Kenji Lopez Alt's favorite smash burger. So
he knows his shit. He does.
Knows his shit.
Shout out, chef.
I've got some really thick books in my kitchen from him. So,
ooh, a book reader. See, that's part of our subscription service right there, is like the recipe homage. But and we'll do some every music pairings. Every month
you get an album and a cookbook.
Exactly. You know, we'll have to keep it low budget, so because you'll lose your shorts on the books. But whatever. Up, oh, just in time. Last sip of the IPA. Shout out to Lawrence Brewing Company or whatever, Lawrence Beer Co. or LBC. And Matt, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, let's talk some shop whenever you want to come on tour. I got you.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Like, just go play a show, and you can cook, and I can play and eat.
That's all there is to it, really. People make it, you know, it could all be so simple, and you just come and do it, and we just sell some Tecate and get crazy, you know. That's great. All right, man. Have a great dinner.
All right. You too.
See you on the road. Well. Later.
Bye.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? If you hear any background noise behind me, it's because I'm sharing the room with my buddy, Xander. He's not my buddy. He's my kid. He's playing a video game. It looks like it might be fun. He also calls this game trash when he loses. So I don't know. You be the judge. It does look like he's losing a lot. So stick to something, maybe wrestling. 0-0. Okay. Anyways, back to the program. Thank you for listening to The Family Cast. Food and music is life. Yes. Yes, indeed. Matt Pryor, what a guy. What a guy. Can't wait to do some collabs with him. And yeah, you're still losing, bro. You're losing, Xander. hopefully we can do some stuff together in the future, whether he's coming into town or maybe I'll travel. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll have to stay in touch and do that. As we spoke about in the intro and in the conversation, he is the singer of the Get Up Kids, who just recently did a tour to celebrate the anniversary of 4 Minute Mile. So at the end of this episode, I will not be playing music from that, because I played music from that on one of the Kitchen Pairing playlists. You'll have to go back and find it. The Get Up Kids has been a very important band in my life. I don't know if you caught it in the conversation, but we played at our wedding. The DJ played. I was like, oh, here's this album, Something to Write Home About. My wife and I both like it a lot. And the DJ was my friend Bird. And so he picked I'll Catch You, because it was like the last song on there. It's slower. So everyone like was slow dancing to the song. It was like the last song of the night before we left, and everyone was like, you know, helped us clean up, because a little known fact about weddings is when the bride and groom leave, somebody's still left there to clean up the mess. So if you're doing a cheap budget wedding, somebody's got to take care of things. So shout out to all the homies and family members and friends who helped at our wedding a long time ago. Actually, it was in October, 22 years ago. So shout out to that. Something to Write Home About had already been out for a little bit when we got married in 2000, but it was like a big important album for our Dogwood on tour. Listened to it like nonstop on the way to Alaska and back. So it was a big important album in the van, and all the songs meant a lot. And I was already a fan of the band, of course, because 4 Minute Mile is an amazing record, and I've been a fan of all their music since, and all the stuff that Matt does with all of his other projects too. If you want to hear more of his voice that's not music, you can listen to the Vagrant Records podcast, and he's also, of course, been on other podcasts that you already listened to, like Growing Up Punk and stuff like that. But he was here on today, so I'm going to stick to this one. I'll tell you about the songs later. wanted to real quick say thanks again for listening. Follow me on Instagram at TheFamilyCast. And if you want to send some tips my way, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/punkchef or Venmo, just straight up Venmo, Joshua CK. You can send me some money. I appreciate it. Helps me buy records from these musicians. Keeps everyone afloat. Thanks so much. And speaking of thanks, wanted to say a quick, huge shout out to the homie, longtime collaborator, Daniel Montoya, for this music that is behind me. Also, I don't really have a rant this week because it's been such a good week thus far. The homie, Chris Staples from 238, back in the day, he's to tour with us. He's a solo musician now touring by himself. And he's got a new single out this week too. Check that out. I got lots of links in the show notes. Still have a lot of discount codes for everyone I work with, like Grumpy Chef Knives, Liquid Death, Essex Coffee Roasters, Dano's Seasoning. And if you really hit me up, if you want to hit me up and email famcastpod@gmail.com, I might send you some discount codes for some vinyl albums if you're still into that sort of thing. I am. And yeah, let's have some fun. Leave some comments. Leave some show notes. Or no, you leave me some notes. I have show notes to give you. And that's it for me. I think I'm going to get out of here. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun, maybe, perhaps. Xander is just finishing up his video game. He's over it. He could not get a W today. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, amigos y familia, it's been fun. I'm Chef Josh. Oh yeah, let me tell you about the music we're going to play. I decided to stick with all the Get Up Kids stuff. Every single song from every single... No, just kidding. We're going to do three, though. We're going to do three songs. There are many to choose from. There are many to choose from. As you may or may not know, the Get Up Kids have a lot of music out there. And let's see. So I think the first one is going to be... I'm going to go with Shatter Your Lungs. 2011. There Are Rules. They had a little bit of a different sound. Not even a little bit. It was a pretty different sound from what most people expected from the band, and I like it. It reminds, I would say it's the Get Up Kids sounding more, a little bit more like the Flaming Lips and some other influences that are obvious in there. But I like it. It's a different kind of song. It sounds like a collaboration almost, even though it is a proper Get Up Kids release, and that was from 2011. So they had already been well established and toured the world many times over. And hey, I like this music. So that's Shatter Your Lungs. Okay. And then we're going to go with a cover called Close to You by The Cure. The Get Up Kids did it for Punk Goes Pop. Was it Punk Goes Pop? I think it was Punk Goes Pop Volume 2, I believe. Maybe it was on other comps too, but I have it from the Punk Goes Pop Volume 2 compilation. Oh no, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. It's Before You Were Punk, Volume 2. I was way off. Before You Were Punk, Volume 2. Okay. So it's a cover. It's a Get Up Kids covering The Cure, Close to You. If you haven't heard the song, it's pretty fun. They put their own little spin on it, and they turned it into a Get Up Kids song. If you didn't know, or if somebody didn't know that it was a Cure song at first, you could totally fool them into thinking it was just a straight up Get Up Kids song. But you know, The Cure did it and they covered it. So here we are. Yep. And then we're going to close out the show. We're going to close out this week's episode of The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life. Yes, I'm Chef Josh. And I'm going to tell you this last song is Red Letter Day. It's a very important song to me for many, many reasons, but I'm not going to get into all that because I've already explained my love and affinity towards the band and this album. Actually, this song was on two releases because it was on the technically it was on the Red Letter Day EP, which came out 1999. Red House Studios recording, Doghouse Records, producer Ed Rose, and as you all know, if you're a super fan, Chad Blinman was the producer of Something to Write Home About. So Ed Rose, amazing producer, legendary in the emo scene, and of course, Something to Write Home About is the following album. Album, whatever. Red Letter Day, I feel like it's I don't know, it's just super memorable chorus, if you will, because they repeat it. Super good chorus, and I think it's honestly one of the best bridges that they've written across many of their albums. Really super good bridge. Yeah, I don't know, it's just super good, and the lyrics are just bomb. I love the lyrics in this one. I almost most of these lyrics on this song are very tattooable lyrics, if you know what I'm saying. Okay. Inkable, tattooable, whatever. So anyways, we're going to get into the music now. It's been a joy to do this episode, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Share it with a friend, please. And go get some of Matt's music, whether it's the Get Up Kids or his other stuff, New Amsterdam's. Links are in the show notes. I'm Chef Josh. I'm going to go to the kitchen now. Love you. Mean it. Bye-bye.